And the Torah begins Alokeach kenu mishanim in ha'akum kiderash nishtamish b'ma'akum kachu hachsheiram. The way the guy uses it is the way that you're machshir it, as we would like to say. We like to say as a subset of that kibolo kach polto. Lefi kach Alokeach kli tashmish mishanim shemishtamishim b'tzonin kigon kosos v'tzlochios v'chayotze b'hen mishav shefal de lahasir ulamari ka isur shal gabein. You want to get rid of the b'en. Okay, to clean it well. The assumption here, incidentally, this will come up later, if you didn't do this tikkun, what's the din? So that's the machlokas arishonim. So arishonim, sounds like the Rambam for one, holds that even the be'en, the small amount of be'en that's left on after when it's not a ben yomo anymore, is in fact pogum. So even not only if you didn't do hagolah on an ben yomo or libon on an ben yomo, but even if you didn't do hadach on an ben yomo, b'di'eved would still be mutter. That's what the Rambam says. And other rishonim say no. Other rishonim say v'chulon sheshtamishon ad shelo hitbil, ad shelo higil, ad shelo libain. So atchelo hitbil there doesn't refer to the koshering process, it refers to tfilas kelim. In which case the sentence is a very awkward sentence because you're talking about two different things. Okay, but anyway, lakach meim kelim shenishtamesh bahen b'chamin kigon kederus v'yoros shemishtamshim bahen b'chamin magilan umatbilan v'hein mutarim. So if you buy kelim which they use typically with hot liquids, like pots, like pans, which they use chamin, so you do hagala, then you do tvila, and then it's mutter. So here we already mentioned some achlokas harishonim. You might say that there are three shitas in terms of the order of tvila and hagala. One shita says that you must do hagala before tvila, and if you don't, if you do tvila first, it's ma'akev, because it's ketovo sheretz biyado. I guess we're going to read that in a second. We'll get to that. That's the Rashba shita, and it's also the Rashbam shita. If your abbreviation starts with Rashin Beis, then maybe you belong to that camp that's machmir on that. And the second shita that says that lechatchila you should, but it's not ma'akev, which is our position. And then a third shita which says it's totally unnecessary. So we'll get to that in a second. You can kasher any of these materials, it makes no difference. You can't kasher stoneware. Stoneware may not actually be stoneware. Stoneware may actually be cheres. But actually, something made out of stone Rav Haigon says is like cheres, and v'lo sharu b'hagala, and hagala doesn't permit it. Avo rab afas nasan lahem din klei shetef v'chein ikar. I think the Rambam holds that way also, that kibolo kach polto. This is a sort of a general principle, and again, it's a question of the balance between exeris hakosav and a metzias question. We say ha-torah he'ida al klei cheres she'ina yotze mide dofi ol olam. The normal assumption would have been that if a kli can be trafed up in a certain way, you should also be able to kasher it. The Torah is made on klei cheres, whatever that means, to be made on klei cheres, that it never can be fully clean, and that's why you have to break the klei cheres of kachim because of the noser problem. But our starting assumption should be with all materials that kibolo kach polto, unless you could prove that it was like klei cheres somehow. Which is why plastic can be kashered. But Moshe had a chumra, not the kasher plastic. For Pesach, it's not clear everybody even hold, not too many people hold of that. But some do. But in Eretz Yisrael, I think they certainly kasher plastic. Some of that has to do with the cost. In Eretz Yisrael now, it may be less of an issue, but it was obviously once a much less wealthy society. Eretz Yisrael, it may not be a wealthy society today either, as much as America, but it was, certainly was once much, much poorer. And people didn't, like my comment about the yahrzeit glasses and making that your set of glasses, so this would really be no different. Okay. In Or HaChaim, I read this a couple days ago, I don't remember what was said, but there was a discussion about klei etzem, but I think the maskana is that klei etzem is treated not like klei cheres, but it's treated like a regular kelim. Maybe someone wanted to say that klei etzem should not require anything, not even require that, but because that what other sheet said now, but it's in the parasha of klei midyan. It's close to being in the parasha because yochol maaseh izim, v'chol bedu ha'ar, v'chol maaseh izim, v'chol kli eitz tischato. So maybe etzem should be no different than any of those things, and therefore our assumption would be that klei etzem require hagala but can have hagala. Because of a Rashba, Dafka Shemagilan Viachar Kahmad Bilan, Avon Midbilan, Trila, Vikatova Sharas Biedo, of a recast of Shiachalat Bilan, Trila, Vimlaitza, the Stamish Belatsonin, Yachalat Bilo, the Stamish Betsoni, Shiutza, the Stamish Bacham, and Yagila, Viaspiko, Trila, Shet Bilo Kvar. Seems very hard to argue with that particular point. Okay. Now, the Shulchan Aruch turns its attention, the Shulchan Aruch turns its attention towards Hagala. Ketzad hi ha-Hagala, yishav shef ha-kli heitev kedei lahaver ha-chaluda shebo. Here the purpose of getting rid of the chaluda is not because of chatzitza, but because you might not be able to, if there's stuff that's balua underneath it or stuck underneath it, so then you're not going to get it. What if you can't be mishav shef completely in its entirety? So the Darkei Moshe, does he say something here? No, it's by Oshei. Darkei Moshe says that the Isser V'Heder says that there's no takan of Hagala if you can't remove all the Chaluda, but the Maril disagrees. He says that if the Chaluda at least is on the outside of the clear on the rim and you can't remove it, it's Mota Lahagil. Why? Stama, because you're dealing with in a Banyomo, it's a sacred Rabbana, we don't want you to be mastered, issue the Rabbana, you don't have to be mastered the Kli.
Yeah, but also, like, there's no rust where the food comes.
Correct, but you have the top of the Kli, which requires Hechsher. But okay. So he's make under that under those circumstances. Achar kach magilo imhu kli rishon kigon yoro kideros magila bekli rishon benikra kli rishon ba'odurotech afilo ein al gabeish. It's called a kli rishon even when it's not on the fire. V'yesh omrim im nishtamish bekli ba'od al gabeish tzarach shetegam hagala dafka bekli sheish mahalech tachton v'hachi mistaber, because the golden rule of hechsher kelim is. The Beis Yosef says, "Tama mishum the klal gadol biyodenu kibolo kach polto." Fine. So, however you use it is the way you have to kasher it. Then, v'im ha'kli gadol sheinu yachol lahachnis kulo keachad yachnis chetzio v'achakach chetzio hasheni. If you can't, it's too big to kasher the entire thing in one shot, so you can kasher it in two shots. V'im hu arosh shegam zeinu maspik. Let's say it's a tray that you can put part in and the other part in, but you can't put the middle part in. So then, what you can do is and then you can do hagal on either the sides. Then biyore gedola sheni yochol achnisa l'acheres yase l'safa mitiro batze kedei sheyuchal l'malosa heitev kedei sheyavo hamayim al kosvasa. Oh yachnis bo ud boer mitokach yatich hamayim miyalu on kosvasa. So either you make this a mud or dough rim to extend to enlarge the kli so you can have water boil over on top without spilling, or you go for the spill, but you drop. What you do is you drop a very hot thing in it, and this is in the basis. I think of the Ran is the one who says that. The Beis Yosef quotes the name of the Rush and the Mordechai. The Ran, I don't think attributes it to them. The Ran would have probably seen the Rush. I don't know if he was in the Ran. Does the Ran ever quote the Mordechai? I don't get the impression that he knows the Mordechai, but I would be surprised if he didn't know the Rush. I don't remember. He quotes the Rush. Fun, the Ramban, maybe not. Maybe he doesn't even quote the Rush. Anyway, so the Ran quotes the suggestion as well. If you drop the hot thing, then that would be sufficient. And I suggest in other contexts, what you can do is you can always pour boiling water in, because the water is boiling. And the advantage of the hot rock is hotter than the water you've been dumping in. But if you have boiling water in the kettle and you just immediately pull it off the thing and pour it in, it's not going to make a difference. It's not going to cool it down enough. Okay.
But this might have to do with the fact that Hagala needs to be Davka Barochim.
I'm sorry?
Like Davka Hagala needs to be Barochim.
Well, we don't. The truth is, technically speaking, Hagala doesn't need to be done Barochim. Hagala just needs to be done in the same manner in which the Bliya was done. By doing Hagala Barochim, once you get the pot bubbling, that's as hot as the pot gets. Once a pot is bubbling with hot water, it doesn't get whatever our temperatures that you will figure out this summer. Exactly, what's the temperature of the water when it's boiling off? Please don't say 212. If it were 212, the water would be completely evaporated. You wouldn't see any water in the pot. It's hot, but I suspect, my guess is it's 160 to 180, you know, when the water actually starts to bubble and you start to get more boiling off. Obviously, water at room temperature also, you have slow evaporation. And for any water to evaporate, it does really have to be 212 degrees, but if it's a few molecules, you can't feel it. So that just happens in the natural course of things with molecular motion. But whatever that temperature is, once you reach that point, the water's never going to get any hotter. Right, it's just going to be more and more steam, but the water itself won't get any hotter, so that should be sufficient, Nathan.
Isn't there a concern that if you just pour water on it, it's the water that you're pouring that's going to overflow, not the water in the pot?
Firstly, the water you're pouring on it is also bubbling water. I mean, it's kind of, as soon as it hits the water, it's going to be bubbling water. But you pour it, you can pour it in the middle of the pot. It's the other water that goes over. But it could be, maybe. Maybe that's, you know. But I think that it will have the same effect. I think the concern is not the water which touches the edge, it's that you don't want the water to be nachmei v'tichosam while you're putting the stuff in. So if you put in something cold, it may cool the water down temporarily. When you get your splash, it's not rotchen. You know, it's yad so lettuce, but it's not rotchen. And then when it resumes boiling again in a moment, now you're dealing with, it once again hasn't gotten the top of the pot. Okay, then the Torah quotes a din, which is also found in Aruch Chaim. Obviously, there's a lot of overlap. And the Torah says that Kli she'yesh bo kalai, if the pot has a patch. Today, I don't want to say we don't have patches on pots, but I've never seen a pot with a patch. If a pot gets a hole in it, what we do today is we toss it in the garbage. Recycling. Maybe that's wasteful or recycling, yes. Thank you. Thank you, Eli. 2 points for environmental consciousness. Not on the Bechina. So if you have a talai, you have a patch, so the concern is that stuff got stuck underneath the patch. And therefore you can't do hagala that way. And then you can solder it back on or melt it back on. However, what the Beis Yosef, and maybe the Torah quotes in Aruch Chaim, is that if the pot was bolea when the patch was already on it, so kibolo kach polta. It's only if the pot was bolea, you didn't kashu it, now it got a hole and you fix it with the talai, we're afraid that maybe the stuff underneath. But once you, and it may not come out. But in fact, even there, the concern seems to be more about the be'en than it does about the balua, which is why some suggest that if you can't, you don't have to do libon on the whole thing, but you would do libon on the talai, if I'm not mistaken, it's suggested. But again, when we say if it's not nitar bagal, it means when it absorbed without the talai, and now it has a talai. Which is why the whole business that some people are confused about knife handles is nonsense. In other words, if the knife handle is solid on the knife, you don't have to worry about that there's a handle, because kibolo kach polto. If it was bolea out when the handle was attached like that, however far it got is however much will come out when you're a machshir. Okay. The imbala arosel, here's the big, here's the 15 round fight in the simon. The imbala arosel ab mikli rishon machshiro. Kosef Rabbi Natan b'choshev kikli rishon. Rabbi Natan says, you mikli rishon? Kikli rishon. Rashbam kosev the iru l'choshev kikli rishon. Rashbam says it's not kikli rishon. Adoni avi arosel kosev the hacha vadai here, as opposed to by blios, where the iru mikli rishon is at least mavli amachlin, it's a problem here. Here it doesn't work at all. Lo mahani iri dafil nashavnu kikli rishon hani dafka lahaflu imenu ma'at kidei klepa. Umi uein lakoch lahaflu imenu kol yisur habalua bo. Now, the one of the rayas that Rabbeinu Tam brings that iri is kikli rishon is when you had this pit, this bar of wine, of yainesa. Nava artachu. I don't know exactly what those words mean. I assume artichol means you pour boiling water, and nava is the name of the pit. In fact, oh, of course. I think the Aramaic word in the Targum for yekev is navohi. There you go. So in other words, the yekev, the wine pit, so you boil it. How do you boil it? You pour boiling water in it. So what does that accomplish? If it's balua meyisra, so it's irimikli rishon, so you see that irimikli rishon works. So the answer is no, because that was only balea yedetzoni. The wine was only balea yedetzoni, and it's not balea legamer into the kli, it's balua really more into the outside of the kli, the klipa. Which is interesting, because this issue maybe was raised, but when we say kavush kemahushal, we've assumed, maybe it's a chumra, we've assumed that how much to the pot is nesar if it's kavush kemahushal? How much is kavush osa?
Kula.
And I thought that maybe it's not true by a kli. Maybe it's not true by a kli, but I thought that kavush by a kli should be osa kula also. But here the assumption is that because the wine sat in the pit, I presume, it obviously sat at least 24 hours, you wouldn't have any bleos. And nonetheless, you're saying that you need irimi kli rishon, and that irimi kli rishon works because that gets out of klipa. Well, guess what? You know, it's if it was baluami kula, why should it help?
Okay.
So anyway, that was one of his rayas. The Rush brought another raya for... So that was the Rabbeinu Tam's rayas, and that's how they doche it. And another observation that the Rush made that suggested that Iru Mikli Rishon is not Kilki Rishon is the story of the Gadnapa, the Gadanfa, the rim. The Gemara says, who's Chacham to do if not whoever did it, whoever the guy's name is? And he says that Ma Bolo Benitzotzos, Kach Polto Benitzotzos. So he says that the top of the Kli doesn't get fully covered, it only gets Nitzotzos. And Nitzotzos are enough to get that out. The Mashmaus of the Gemara, the Rush points out, is that if Bolo had been the Kli Rishon, not just Benitzotzos, then Nitzotzos would not have helped you. So you see that Irim Mikli Rishon, which might be called Nitzotzos, the water that splashes there, is not Dino Kli Rishon. It's only Dino Ki'irim Mikli Rishon, which is why the Torah says in the very next line, Umiu Kli Shalon Ishtamish Bo Ela Ayudei Iru Idai Lo Gam Kein Behesher Ayudei Iru. It would be sufficient to have Irim Mikli Rishon. Ukli Shalon Ishtamish Bo Ela B'Kli Sheni Magilu B'Kli Sheni V'Daya. We would probably not hold this way because we hold that the Dievet of Kli Sheni is not Mavli Amasli. This is really like the Shitas HaRashba, that a Kli Sheni in fact, is Balea.
So is
a cliché doesn't get any? Cliché doesn't get any, it should be washed out. It's like Kalim Shishdamish Bensone. Okay. Now, before we move on, I just want to go back. Now we're going to talk about the actual physical process of Hagala for a moment, and the Rith's very interesting idea, which we, the tour, nobody else knows what to do with. I wanted to just go back to talk about a couple of dark emotions that came at the beginning, so I don't forget that. Number one, the first two Darkei Moshes deal with the question of when you buy stuff from a Goy, does he have an Amonos, whether or not the Kli was used until now. The Isser V'Heter suggests, the Isser V'Heter quotes the Rabbi who says that when you have gold and silver kalim, which are normally which are bought from a Goyim, so normally a gold and silver chalices you don't use with hot, you use with cold. Nonetheless, sometimes they'll drink hot stuff in it, and therefore you should be Hoshesh to be magil them. So that's a requirement, l'chatchila, but b'dieved they're mutar. And klei cheres, which you have no choice on, you can, again, if it's the kind of kli that normally you don't use hot stuff in, so then we say that it's enough to do just to wash the kli out. He also makes an observation about shulchanos and tevos, that the Rav Yoh claims is a minhag to be magil, then maybe some hot soup fell on them. I find this to be very odd. This comes up in Hilchos Pesach as well. We do cover a table during Pesach. But I'm not really sure what Matthias this reflects for a very simple reason, except for Pesach time, which is, what are you concerned about by a table? That hot soup fell on it? Okay, so unless you're talking about using the table benyomo, if the table is not a benyomo, so what's the shayla? There's no problem, because the Belios can't aser, are really not going to aser anything. And, but you say that you're not allowed to use a kli shena benyomo, ati you might come to use a benyomo. You don't cook food on the table, or put hot food on the table generally, or unless you do. Well, we don't. Right, I don't think we normally put up, most of our food we don't put directly on the table. We certainly don't put hot stuff usually directly on the table. It's usually on a plate. So, what if it falls onto the table in theory is balea? That's b'dieved, right? It's not l'chatchila. In the same way that you don't need, if a grate is clean and it's not a benyomo, leaving out Pesach for the moment, there's no need to kasher a stovetop that's clean after 24 hours, because you don't cook the food on the stovetop. In other words, you don't put the food in direct contact, you put the pot on there. So what do you worry about? Oh, that the liquid spills over and we're afraid that the blios go out of the grate into the water, into the back of the pot, through the pot, into the top shell. Okay, so even if you're choshesh for the smog or whatever it was that said that, nonetheless, you're not l'chatchila doing that. It's b'dieved that it fell on the thing. That's not normally what happens. So what's the shayla? You're putting dry on top of dry. There shouldn't be any concern. If b'dieved something happens, well, it's no seitam of kam, so it's not a problem. So I don't really understand, unless they used to eat much more commonly off the table. So it was common to put a hot piece of meat directly on the table as opposed to on a plate. I can't imagine that, but the fact that I can't imagine it doesn't mean anything. I live in a totally different world. So I'm not sure where anybody would come up with the idea that you need to be magil a table. Because you don't eat food directly on the table. Okay, I mean, again, if it were a benyomo, if you had a spill from an Irimi Klevishon on your table, so I could see why you want to be careful, you want to be concerned, or you want to cover or something like that, but I don't quite see where you get the Haggadah from. David?
Would this like be the same sort of idea with, let's say, countertops? But
same thing. Exact same thing.
So like, it would make sense, so in Pesach, you said, why?
Because by Pesach, we're machmer no sein tam lefkan.
Okay.
And Rama quotes two deos and he says, you know, if there's no minog, you should be machmer. So our practice is to try to avoid no sein tam lefkan Pesach. So there, you can see why being more machmer, why you need to kasher the counters or do something to the counters.
Also, why don't you say with the table or the counter, for this matter, that, like, let's say, like, Let's say I have like hot fries, okay? Like I eat them and like it falls on the table. I'll eat it again and it's hot. And so maybe include Klirishon.
Well, depending, it might be a Davar Gush. Okay, so again, I'm moded you could have Bleas on the table, but if it's not a Ben Yomo, what are you concerned about? That's not Lechatchila. Do you have to kasher the floor because something might fall on the floor that's hot, and then you'll pick it up and it would absorb, you know, from the
Bleas?
Sounds
like a good idea.
What's that?
Sounds like a good idea.
It's an excellent idea. If we ate more dirt, we'd have fewer allergies and autoimmune diseases. Okay, so anyway. Okay, alum, dirt is not one of the things we're tasting for Davar Harif.
Why not?
You are welcome to.
You should do like different types of dirt. New York City dirt.
Okay, there you go.
Davar Harif.
Does New York City dirt have crustaceans in it? Or okay. Anyway, so bottom line is that Irimik. So that was that comment in Darkei Moshe. An additional point, he has a long discussion of Spain about buying stuff from Goyim, and it's a really Metzias question. As I think I mentioned yesterday in Shir, if you buy a chainsaw from Home Depot, you probably shouldn't use it to cut your meat because it might have been used already. Even if it was sold as new. Or even if they didn't tell you it was used. But the bottom line is it's really a Metzias discussion. Most of the time when you buy dishes, you can assume the Goyim don't use their dishes, you know. Goyim manufacturers don't use their dishes first, unless you believe in the little leprechaun who wants to trade up all the dishes to be mashal all the yidden. So in that case, for that leprechaun, we can assume the kelim are b'nei yomim. That far, we don't have to be choshesh.
Yeah, I assume that storage refurbished things.
I'd assume that when it comes to dishes, again, it's a Metzias question, but I don't think that they do that. In fact, I was so shocked. I was so shocked to have returned something ordered online from Lands End to Sears. And even a pack, even something that didn't fit that was unopened, or the other one, you know, I didn't fit, unopened, they marked it as, it was marked as clearance and used. Wow, I mean, that one wasn't touched. The bag was still sealed. So I think businesses, I doubt they would, something like dishes that really matter, and this clothing, I can imagine as well, I doubt that you would ever see it. I mean, at some point, if a dish was really used, you'd be able to tell. But I don't know what return policies are on dishes either once you use
them.
What's that?
Then you can return anything anytime.
Okay, so the question is how do they mark it? But I would assume that which is returned and was used with something actually used and used with something trafe is probably a mute.
The only place that happens all the time is you go to like estate sales or tag sales.
That's a different story. That's where the shyla comes up, where you can't tell, sometimes you can't tell where these dishes used. But there you're starting, no one there is likely, so then if the guy said that it was unused, and assuming it was a guy who would have knowledge of that, so that's the Rambam mentions, it may siach lefitumo, then you should be able to accept that because, you know, he's no reason to lie. And he said that the Rambam talks about various details, and apparently he speaks about certain kinds of, Kolbo talks about certain kinds of kelim, that kelim dina sayam, where apparently the magazine seems that they were used for party rentals. And you couldn't tell that they were used. And it didn't show, the wear didn't show. So he said that they may have to be there, you can't use those kelim. Okay. Fine.
They're not by Nyoma, are they?
Yeah, but it's still usher if they were used. You can say it's a sake of the Rabbanim, but it may be that there's a chazaka that they were used. If there's a chazaka that they were used, this particular kind of clay, then it wouldn't help you, the fact that it's only the Rabbanim. So it's an issur Rabbanim. Another comment that I passed over in the Ramah, belonging back on the tour, on the tourist comment, the reset, that if you want to use the treif kelim with tzonein, you can do that. So do tefillah first, then use the kelim with tzonein, and then you can do hagala, and you don't have to do tefillah after. So the Darkei Moshe points out in Oz Dalin that there are that not everybody agrees to this, meaning there are three shittas in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that any kelim of goyim which are clean and cold you can use with tzonein. And there are some Rishonim who said that applied to everything, but exception of Klei Charis. Klei Charis you couldn't use even Bitzonein if it was a treif kli until you kasher it. And then the third shita, which is what the Darkei Moshe seems to prefer, and I think our practice with Mordechai, is that even something which is normally used for hot stuff, you cannot use it for cold, bikvius. You can only use it arai until you kasher it, because we're afraid that you might actually come to use it for chamin. One of the very interesting things that's discussed here in the Gabi Hagala is what if you have, if you have cracks in the pot, little, you know, fissures, so you're not allowed to, you can't do agal on it because we're afraid that the end gets stuck and then you have to do libun. Question is, what if you have a pot that is stamped? So that the Darkei Moshe and Os Vav quotes the Isser Veheter that there seem to be two different issues in play here, but it sounds like you're actually, that doesn't constitute a problem for libun, for Hagala. What's that?
You said stamp? What
does it mean by that? Yeah, like some, if you put a stamp, it's engraved, you know, the manufacturing stamp. So that those are stuck in, those are, you know, so that's not a problem. Probably because even though it's there, it's not like something that gets stuck in between them.
That's usually on the outside.
That's true as well, but we never know how our stuff works, right? So anyway, the finally, the Darkei Moshe and Ozayin quotes the Issa v'Heta who's machmir never to rely upon Irim Mikli Rishon, always do Hagala, because maybe you know, we're afraid, he says, that I guess that maybe it was used with Klevishoni, and so the truth is, the Ramah doesn't quote this Issa v'Heta in Shulchan Aruch, and I don't think it's the Minhag. It may also be that things that you know you couldn't have used in a Kli Rishon, you're not choshish for. I mean, truth be told, we typically, those things that we always are kasha with a Kli Rishon, what do we normally kasha with Irim Mikli Rishon? One thing we normally kasha, what?
Sink.
But you know that you never used a sink for Kli Rishon, because it's highly unlikely that one time you put your sink inside your biggest pot as you were cooking in it. Possible, you never know. If you have plumbing skills to take it out and put it back in, but, you know, they talk about throwing in the kitchen sink, but unlikely that that happens, so we're not going to be hoshesh to say that you need Kli Rishon because it's impossible to do, and there's no way it was ever used for Kli Rishon. Ilan.
Didn't you need countertops on Pesach?
What's that?
Countertops.
For Pesach. So there, you have to do something to it. We usually soft scrub our countertops, and at that point, it's suffice it to say that any blios that could possibly be there would be Nisal Me'achilas HaKelev. What's that? You could do Irim Klirishon on the countertops. Yeah, that's what.
I think Ilan was saying that was another example.
Oh, correct. Yes, it's kind of hard. Your counter, you know, look, if it was like a granite countertop, maybe they put in your pot. But our formica countertop on top of the wood, you certainly did not put in a boiling pot.
If you had a Klirishon pot and you took off the fire and put it directly on the countertop, there's food in between the two.
It's still not in a Kli Rishon. That would be Irimi Kli Rishon, I think. Yeah. I think so. I mean, there you can have fun with. It's also Tata Gavar. So once it's Tata Gavar, it can never be more than a Klipa. You have to see how they work out the Dinim with Kalim, but if that's the case, that's no worse than Irimi Kli Rishon. And even if you spill now from the pot onto the counter, even though it's a Irimi Kli Rishon, it's still Kidei Klipa. Okay.
I would have some forks. A cutlery, technically, should...
You should put in a Kli Rishon. I mean, are knives and forks... What's that?
Should only need Irim and Kli Rishon.
Well, yes and no, because if you assume that a Davar Gush is a Kli Rishon, then your forks and knives could very well need it.
But even half...
Your spoons...
Most things that we have that are Davar Gush, they are... It's the... Your utensil is attached to the Davar Gush. I'm having forks, so... The cutlery touches it. How long does it stay a
davar gush for? As long as it's yad soledas. Now, it always stays a davar gush until you eat it, chew it up, and it gets broken apart in your stomach. It remains, how long does it stay a Kli Rishon, you meant to say? And the answer is, as long as it's yad soledas. So, that would certainly mean, the truth is, if you didn't believe that, if you didn't hold the marshal, so it would almost, your cutlery would almost never need anything, it would only be klisheni. Right? Would you ever have... I guess if you had a hot pot of soup and you poured the soup and the spoon was sitting inside the bowl, then you assume not like the Ma'aril, but you assume like the Taz, or in a case where the ladle was sitting inside the pot for a while, so it's violently Kli Rishon. So when you pour on and it hits the spoon, so that's Irimi Kli Rishon. Okay. Anyway. So we're back now to the tour. And he says, V'kelim shemishtam shembohem dvarim acharifim kimo madoch shedachem bo shuman upilpulim in dvarim asurim afilu lo nishtam shu bo ki haigavna ela bitzonein tzrichin hagala umiyu ayivei hagala shari. Right, there are different deos here, and this is discussed in Ur Chaim. And if my recollection, as poor as it is from having looked at it once relatively quickly on Monday, my recollection serves me well here. There are those Rishonim who want to say that Bitzonein, it shouldn't require anything, should be need to be cleaned, and those who want to say that by Dvarim Harifim, even Hagala doesn't help. That sheet, that the second sheet I mentioned, certainly exists. I think that Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, right? That the Beis Yosef alludes to here. And I think the Dark Game Moshe has noted here towards the Shita of the Reef that you can do Hagalag. Okay. Then, Kosav Rav Alphys, Tzaro Sheyishe HaKli B'mayim, or Sheyashe HaKli B'mayim, Ad Sheyiflod Kol HaIsur Shebo. V'lo Noagu Kain, says the Torah, Ki Miyodea L'Sharim Masa Yiflod HaKol. How do you know how long it takes to do pleita? Shimbanu lomar kederesh nishtamish bo. If the assumption is you're going to say kabola kachpolto, so you have to leave it doing hagola as long as you cooked with it. Well, guess what? Lo avahani bo hagola shrei nishtamish bo isuzer kama yamim. If you add up all the hours that you cooked in that pot, so this trade pot basically is going to require hagola for hours and hours and hours and hours. That's not really viable, so you wouldn't have hagola. Since you do have a gala, obviously that can't be necessary. V'hechi yiflot b'fam achas, elavadai kimluhu d'habahagala achas poleit hakol, ve'in chilek b'enim yishenu b'selcha o yitzenu miyad, v'chein ho'akim. So the practice is we don't leave it in there. Part of the basis, by the way, being mekel, because, you know, it's not crazy, why don't you want to wait in order for it to be maflet? So the answer is that since we're maflet not to be magilakli, which is a benyomo, so at that point, it's only a chumrah d'rabban on the Haggalah, in which case we're not terribly concerned. That's easy to ignore the Rif Shita for that reason, but the question is, the Rif raises an important point, which is still interesting. In Din Torah, when you magil clay Midian on the day that it was used by the Midianites, if you magil a ben yomo, how long exactly do you leave it in there? It's an interesting question.
Okay.
The Beis Yosef here quotes the Rashba as saying that asking the Kasha, and there was somebody shown in the Machbir, how do you Kasha or Kli Rishon and a Kli Cheni in the same Hagala pot? And maybe even a Kli that you used the Kli Rishon and a Kli that was Irimi Kli Rishon, how do you Kasha in the same pot? Why aren't you afraid it's going to be Maflit from one and polate and the other one's going to absorb? So the Rif says the reason why we allow that, or even better, when you machnis a pot, when you kasher a pot in halves, why aren't you afraid that after you kasher one half and now you stick the other half in, why aren't you afraid that it's going to absorb from the blios of the first side? So the answer he gives is that basically since we're not magila kli, which is a benyomo, once it's an eno benyomo, we don't care about reabsorptions, because at that point, it's not barnat that teira, if you want to call it that. I mean, if you want to call it not barnat, but the bottom line is, there's no issur anymore. So, okay. Somewhere in here, and maybe I'm missing it, the discussion is raised, what if you kasher lots and lots and lots and lots of kelim, and now the water has turned disgusting with the blios, with that have come out. So they say you're not supposed to kasher any more kelim in that water. Suffice it to say, if you've ever done hashur kelim on your own kelim, you have probably never found you could kasher endlessly, because you're not going to find too much in the way of blios to cloud the water, except for the incident at one of the shul in Tinek where somebody decided to throw their candlesticks in with all the wax on it, and that really created a nasty mess for the other people who had thrown their stuff in, which now had wax over it. So the moral of the story is, if you're going to be magil candlesticks, well, first of all,
why would you be magil?
Because they are crazy people, okay? And when it comes to Pesach, Nathan, the Jewish people have lost their minds. You know, to quote a certain person who I will not name, but who coined a great line, he said, so some Haredi Rav, was, it's kulo she'na tzibu yeholim lamado. There is absolutely no need to kasher candlesticks. That is correct. Unless you normally walk around on Shabbos and Pesach just, oh, that's a delicious camel steak, and lick the outside of it. And even then, it probably still doesn't fry hash.
They're doing a go on their Havdalah plate. Like, that maybe is more likely that there's a wax candle.
That's true, but this was candlesticks that did it. Okay. Okay. Jack, be nimble. Jack, be quick. Jack, don't mug over candles.
Can I record you saying what you just said about Yehuda?
I just did.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How'd you do it? So you said Jewish people are crazy. I just want to make sure, because I want to share that with my friends.
This is recording.
Too. When it comes to Pesach, yeah. Yes. So people do some crazy things, and that, unfortunately, was the chumra da'asili de'kula, because it ruined the stuff of other people. It wasn't very nice. Okay. I mean, I'm sure it was unintentional, but it was insanity anyway. Okay.
Intentional to go, or intentional to the wax part?
No, what ruined it for other people was the wax part. The notion that you required Haggala on candlesticks is ridiculous. One would think that the dust fairy comes on Pesach and like a crop duster sprays the table, you know, with chametz or something. I don't know.
What the rabbis tell me.
Okay. Good. I'll believe in that when I finally catch the tooth fairy on the way in. The tour continues. Ul'achar hagala yishtefenu b'tzonen k'der shashot fun hakos. After you do hagala, you should rinse the things with cold water like you do shtifas hakos. So here we mentioned already, the Rishon struggled to find the particular time. I suspect it's probably some zecher to the Haggala which is being done, to the Merikah and Shtifa and the Mikdash, and that summer makes its way over. You have to remember that the Rif, or Rashi quotes here, says, the Kasav Rashi, Shetzerach Shiyishtefenu Miyad B'mayim Karim B'Oracham and Olav K'deish Shalayach Zeviyivla. Now, according to Rashi, it really matters, because then, if you don't do it immediately, it's a problem. Except the only catch is how long. And therefore, because of a recast of shafil lo shatfa miyad, shatfa miyad lo nesar ki enu chazer balea. When you come, no, I'll give him the shatfa miyad, nechein ra'oi lasis. You would eat that food to clog up your arteries, Skutsky? I was wondering whether any one of my students would do this in front of me after I turned down the free donuts for the person who was running for election unopposed. Yes, Alon. I'm sorry?
I answered my question.
Okay, go ahead.
Technically, he could be opposed.
Are you running a writing candidate against him? I don't know who he is, but... Okay, anyway. Eima glin akliat shelo yehei ben yomo. O sheyu b'mayim shemagilim bo shishim kinegdo. I have seen it all now. Okay. Would anybody else like anything else?
Is it nutritious?
You can have as much as you like. Okay. It will be easier to eat the cardboard once you
we'll
do hagala.
Okay.
So the tour continues that you need either a kli to the yanata ben yomo or to have shishim the mayim kinegdo. But lo oda la filu a kli shemaglu besocho. In other words, im aim b'mayim shishim kinegdo and it's a ben yomo. The osala hagala. But lo oda la filu a kli shemaglu besocho gam kinesar im hu shel heter. The next line is quite enigmatic. Some of you read the Torah and probably were left scratching your heads. I hope you were left scratching your heads because I was left scratching my head. What's he talking about? Is that true? Why not? Why is it not true? What's that? You are allowed to do it. Why not? Why shouldn't you be allowed to do it? Why can't you be magil a kli, which is a ben yomo viser? Because the tam of the iser can go back right back into the pot, and there's no napar not because it's isura. That was the whole point. That by the reason why you can kasher, the reason why Maran in Shulchan Aruch in Arachayim Paskins you can kasher kelim before the fourth hour, before the fifth hour, kodem shal chamishas on Erev Pesach. And you don't have to worry about shishim, and you don't have to worry about ben yomo, is because it's not bernat etera. Chametz into the pot into the water, v'adayinu heter, or even water into the kli, it's three nosnei tam, and it's still heter, and therefore not bernat bernat, or not bernat is not tam. So why do you have to be sure, by basar or by chalav, that it shouldn't be a ben yomo?
Because we don't want you to change the polarity of the pot,
No, that's a later Minog, the Magen Avraham, I think, quotes, but that's not found in Yoredeh anywhere. Besides, that wouldn't be any better if you waited 24 hours. The Minog doesn't make a difference. The Minog doesn't distinguish between Ben Yom and Ben Yom. In fact, the Rama does say the Minog, he writes in Tafnun Beis and Rechaim, but our Minog is not to be Magil any Kli Ben Yom. So when Basar and Chalav, we're also supposed to wait. Hagala works if you did it, but you're supposed to wait. So I don't understand. But the Torah and the Beis Yosef don't hold to this practice. They don't hold this such a Chumrah.
The Drisha asked that question.
Yeah, so he says that basically
they have our practice.
Right, but that's very nice for us, but that doesn't work within the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch. So I don't recall that the Mechaber actually quotes this din, but the Kashya is on the Torah. I do not know. V'yamagyo b'kli shel iser, sar shelo yehe behen yomo, ki amayim nesar eim b'am shi or shishim k'neged akli. V'i efshar. So there's a mistake here. Now I realize. I mean, what is he adding here? What is the mistake? There's a printer's error here. Nobody points it out unless I'll read the sentence again. V'magil b'kli shalisu tzarach shalei ben yomo ki amayim nasarim em ein mamshishim shir keneged akli v'i efshar shei bamshishim kenegdo the b'chul ha-mesharinan v'ein shum kli machzak shir shishim kenegdo. This doesn't read coherently. Well, he just said this already. What's different here? What letter do you have to take out? Or I don't know, imagil kli shel iser, by filling it with water, sarach, in other words, you're not submerging in another thing. Sarach shelo yehe ben yomo. You have no choice. When you imagil the kli itself, the outer kli, it has to not be a ben yomo. Why? Because a kli never holds more than 60 times the water that's in it. So you need one of two things. Either it has to be an ben yomo, or you need shishim, but since you can't have shishim, obviously, you have to rely upon the fact that it's an eno ben yomo. Okay, fine. Not no brilliant chiddush there, but I think that clearly has to be what you have to do. What you have to amend it to be.
The Bach in Ochet.
Yeah.
He quotes the Smach as saying Gezera on the Bliot of Heter, Basar Orchalov, Atu.
Well, that's what the Ramah's minhag is in our Ochet. It's fine. That would be just fine. I don't have a problem with such a view. The problem is that that's not the Torah's opinion. Right? We understand that Bach asked the Kasha.
The Torah could have known the Smach.
But the Torah doesn't hold that way, and he doesn't cite it here as a Das Yachid, or from his vantage point as a Das Yachid. Okay. Now, the definition of Eino Ben Yomo. So, the Ezo She'eino Ben Yomo, Pirish Rabbeinu Tam, Kol She'ovar Alav, Laila Achas Belo Tavshel, Afilu Bishlu Bo Esmo, Be'erav Miyad, Baboker Eino Ben Yomo. The repairs it says shiyasha shiyasha me is la is the chini karvim soch la is la is chimu mubo afi lamayim lavadam sarach lashos me is la is labish lamayim avol bebasser bechalav eno kainim bisha bamayim lavadam achar bishal abasser or balachshira lachalav ein sarach lishos me is la is achar bishal mayim ela achar bishal abasser. This should all be very familiar to you. We have seen this already enough times. This was in Simon. Sadi Hay, probably, not Bernard Simon. Okay, fine. Klei Cheres, Shenishtamesh Ben Yisr. Up until now, we've been talking about everything but Klei Cheres. The term that's often used is Klei Shetef. Why is it called Klei Shetef? Because Uchli Cheres Asher Tevu Shalbo Yishaver. V'im. That's called Klei. That's why it's called Klei Shetef. There may be another reason, another pasuk as well, but that one is Uchli Cheres Asher Yigabo Hazav Yishaver V'chol Klei Eitz Yishatef B'mayim. It's a very, it just hit me now. There is this strange overlap, and I don't know why, between Hechsher Kelim and Tumah. And that in Klei Cheres, in either context, is it fixable. Now it happens to be Legabe Tumah. There is an odd Skutsky, you're going to appreciate this. What is Josh, this is an extra credit question on the Bechina, which won't be extra credit because I'm going to ask you now. What is Skutsky's favorite simon in Yoredeh? You may not answer. His favorite simon is?
Oh, what I know.
Guys, don't let me down. Come on.
This whole year.
Not bad.
You guys are pathetic. You are worse than pathetic. Tell them, Josh.
Kufar.
Of course!
Why?
If you were to go back to the tape and listen how many times Skutsky's name was Betolka de Dibor of Kufvav when I cited it throughout this year, you would know. So I'm bringing back Kufvav one more time, which is, why? What's the rule about which things don't have tara and a mikvah? Anyone know? Why is it that Klei Cheres doesn't have tara and a mikvah? It's Exeris HaKasim. Well, what's the Gemara's rule? If you're learning, if you're doing Tafyomi, we're halfway through Erev now, just a little more than half. I'm a day behind or so, so we're just past the halfway point. Right, I think it's Kuf Hey is the last daf in Erevin, so we're just past it. But if you get to the last couple of daf in Erevin, you'll find out what the klal is. The rule is kol she. Well, it's a flip side, but it explains to you kol she ein lotar b'mikva ein anasis avatuma. If it doesn't have tar in a mikva, it can't become an avatuma. So what are these things that don't, that are not ruyim lekabel this avatuma, but they're not roy to be in a mikva? Klecheres. Ochlem and mashkim. The only kind of food that you can be metaher is water. And you don't put water through tefillah in a mikvah. What do you do to water? Hashaka. You don't have to add them. You can just take the cranny gap and pull out hashaka. What about hagala? Can you do hagala on food? And the answer is that osachaticha for the Rashba is still nesheres b'isur. When you take a piece of meat that was bole isur, not basa b'chol, no chanan, and you stick it into a pot, and you cook it, you're doing hagala on that piece of meat. And it's no good, according to the Rashba at least. I don't know if all we should not. I think that Rabbi Ephraim disagrees with the Rashba. But anyway, there we go. So once again, it all comes back to some kohol. Okay, but there is this funny, I mentioned that because there you have the same word, v'chol kliyetz, v'chol, uchlicheres asher yiga bo'azav yishaver, v'chol kliyetz yishatef b'mayim. So nechoshes and eitz in two different contexts might be referred to as klei shetef. In this simon, we refer to klei shetef as anything that's not klei cheres, anything that has hechsher through hagala and so on. Okay, so now the Torah turns his attention to klei cheres. All right, klei cheres.
Would China be considered
klei cheres? Yes, absolutely. That is the quintessential definition of klei cheres. China, porcelain, you know, or anything else. I think even stoneware. Stoneware may be actually cheres. I'm not sure. I don't think it's real stone. You have to go find
Pyrex,
it.
Exactly.
Pyrex is glass. So Pyrex is glass. I think I once heard Rabbi Tendler claim that Pyrex is the same chemical glass that they had in the time of Chazal. Pyrex is glass.
But now you do not need to totally, you can't kosher it after if it's been...
The tefillah I was talking about, by the way, wasn't tefillas kelim. Let me. Tefillas kelim is a separate axis. I can put up three dinim on the board. Tefillas kelim for klei midyan, taras kelim, which became tameh, and then a hagala. So the truth is, it's not that everything goes together. No, it's true. Metal kelim require tefillah. Require hagala, it works on them, and you can be mitar the mikvah. But wooden kelim, you can do hagala on. You can be mitar them in a mikvah, but they don't require any tefillas klei midyan. Cheres, no tefillas klei midyan, no tar in a mikvah, no hagala. So it's not, in other words, it's not a haba hatalia. I think the tar in a mikvah part and hagala do go together because cheres is the lone exception in both. But when it comes to tefillas klei midyan, cheres is not the only exception of something that doesn't require. Mateches is really the exception. All other kelim, if you have a leather sack that you store wine in, which they used to do, you know, nodos shel yayin, doesn't require tefillin, it doesn't require tefillas klei midyan. Avi?
The reason why you can do a gala in multiple kelim at once is because of naparnat?
Naparnat, yes, and it's all in a binyama. And in fact, I'm not even sure you want to call it not. I don't know if you need not bar not at that point. You only need not bar not to explain why the stuff doesn't go back into the kelim and aser. Right? Why it doesn't. I mean, I guess aser in the water is the same thing. In other words, the issue is that. I would just say differently. It's not even not bar not as much as. It's nursi tam of gam. And nursi tam of gam is motor lachatchila. Unless you cook l'shvach in a pot and now you want to use it after tzeinu b'nyomo. But other than that, nursi tam of gam is motor. Outright. If they're Einam B'nei Yoman, absolutely. I think so. Unless there's some Minag Natu, but I don't see. Al-Pi Adin, there's no reason not to. They're both not B'nei Yoman.
Einam B'nei Yoman. Shouldn't
No. That's being like mediach. That's like being fleishig emilcha kelim, washing them at the same time, even if they were totally clean. And if they're both ben yom, the Ramah says it's asa. Yeah. So I don't know. You know, the Shach says, and the Mechaber holds its mutter if they're clean. But the Shach says that l'chatchila, the Mechaber doesn't say this, that it's asa l'chatchila, that I recall. But the Shach says, even according to the Mechaber, asa l'chatchila. Would somebody say that here it's asa l'chatchila to do two if they're not ben yom? I don't know. I do not know. Okay. Anyway, so now we turn our attention to Klei Cheres. Klei Cheres nishtamish ben Isser b'chamin afilu shelo eitzel la'esh ela she'ira l'socho roteach, even if it's only irmi kli bishon and asus kidei klipa, ain lo hachsher. Is no hachsher b'afilu melo gechala mi b'fnim v'libno heite, even if you put coals on the inside and it gets it really, really hot, im hudavar shein darko la'siko b'fnim kekedera lo mahani leif. If it's something you normally do not do on the inside, it doesn't work because we're afraid you're not going to do a good job because you're afraid of breaking it. Because it's being used in a way that's not normally used, and you're afraid that the heat will crack it. But if you put it back in the furnace until it's you have libun, so then it's mutter. So the Rush says it's not that you need the heat of a kiln, but the assumption is once you stick it in the kiln, you're not going to take it out until it's done. Whereas in our ovens, we're afraid you're going to take it out before it reaches the stage of libun. And this is why we're making by a self-cleaning oven, since you can't take it out. You can't take it out before it has libun. Because, I mean, I'm not telling you it's impossible to stop the oven. You could take an axe and smash it. You could probably unplug it from the wall. You could flip the gas switch to the house, you know, which would cut off the gas.
Unlock it.
What?
You can unlock it, then it turns it off. I don't think you can unlock ours
once it's going. I don't think you can move that. Once you turn the lock,
it would be really dangerous.
Well, that's why it cuts out. But I think on ours, I don't think you can physically turn the switch. But I would even say that there's no chashash in this type of a case because it's a davar sheish l'kisra. You know when you put it in, and as you can't be more heter here. The way you could be more, you stick your oven, you know, because there's no amount. The self cleaning oven is a cycle. There's a certain amount of time. It takes 3-4 hours, whatever it is.
You have to do the longest cycle. They ask you to do 3, 4, or 5.
I don't know. Some I would say you should probably do the longest cycle, but I don't know. It's a good question. You have to figure out, you know, temperatures. You know, what would happen? It's hard to know. It's an experimental case. If you were to put the piece of paper on it and it would just, it's supposed to be that hot. So,
like part of the cycle is like a cool down cycle. Part of it.
So I think the temperatures get to probably over 700 degrees. Because the hottest temperature in the oven as is like 500 or 550.
I'm really excited to like try to cook a dish.
Here's a suggestion, Alon, if you're making an attempt. You don't have to trafe it up. You could just test it in the oven whether it survives. The reason why people don't do this
to
China...
My wife wouldn't let me do that. But if I want to trafe it up and throw it out, then I can put it in.
Are you listening, recorder? Yeah, the recorder's going.
Most things I don't mind if my wife cares or not cares. This probably...
Alon, I just foiled your plan.
It's much worse. I have many more.
Okay, I think I don't want to know about that. Okay, so that's what the Rush says. Yes?
Wait, it'll be usher to actually trade the dish or not?
No.
It's curious.
Kasa bala iter, ilo mistapina me rabvasa. If I weren't afraid of my rabbein, we, the modern expressions, we say "lulei nemistapina." If I weren't afraid that I'd be wrong, I would say the following. It's a way of saying I think this is true, but I'm reluctant to say it. Amina, I would say, "Dafilu klecheres bekedera de la basioma kevin disur the rabbanon magila shalosh pamim v'dayo heirayim in Yerushalmi." So the Yerushalmi and the Rashba quotes this all in the Torah Sabbath. He quotes the Bala Iter. Rabbi Halafta ben Shaul says that a kedera shabisha batruma magila gimel pamim b'chamim v'dayo. So, and then Rabbi Abba comes along and says that you can't learn from that to Nevela. So the Yerushalmi quotes the Amoraim who ask, for 1 second, Truma is more chomer than Nevela, because Truma for a Zar, Yuchai Misa, and Nevela is only a Lav. The Yerushalmi answers that Kamanda Amar, Me'elein Kiblu Hamasus. It means that Truma is a Maisus, Bizman hazeh only the Rabbanon, and therefore it's only nisa the Rabbanon when the keder is baleya truma, because min haTorah it's chul and gemurim. So based upon that it's only nisa the Rabbanon, so the Baal Eter wanted to say that if you have a kli which is balua me isu she'ena ben yamo, so even though it was baleya it was aser, but once it's already waited 24 hours, it's now pagum, it's now only nisa the Rabbanon, and therefore you should be able to do hagala three times. That's what the Baal Eter wanted to say. Machain kasav harashba, and the Rashba cites this, but then the siyim dvarav, the efshe shalawitiru ela be'isu shel devreim she'enu ikur min haTorah ketrumah v'chala b'chutz laretz, v'chein bishulei akum. Assuming, by the way, that bishulei nachar requires hagalah. There are two deos there, and I think, we'll see this in a few weeks when we get to machalei akum, but I believe that the Raman, the Torah's chatas, is machri alikula, that bishul akum doesn't require hagalah, but I could be wrong. We'll look at it again then, but I recall from the last time I taught this, not in Atlanta, but... Back 4 years ago, I thought that the Ramaz Maskana in the Shulchan Aruch, it's not clear, but maybe in the Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't even say anything. I don't remember how it goes, but in the Darik Emotion, I think it's Machwe Lakula. But even if you thought
the Ramaz says that if on Shabbat you have Bishal Akum for a Chola, then it's not Asur Shabbat, even the Bliot. But that might just because it's Shabbat.
Correct, right. Well, that could be, except, well, that's an interesting, right, case. Oh, that's where the issue was. Oh, remember I told you about the question of a ger? The shaila is of a ger. When a ger converts, do they have to kasher their pots? The shaila is not from tarfus. The concern is bishul akum. The stuff they cooked in it the previous day, they weren't Jewish. Now, so the answer is no. The answer is no, because I may jokingly say, even if gay marriage is permitted in this country, self-marriage is not permitted. It goes there on the pot that you cooked in yesterday, and yesterday you come to marry yourself. What does that mean? For the person who did it, Mistama, it can't be Osir. Okay, whatever. It's a joke. It can't be Osir. But that's what I think. Someone writes about this. I don't know. Someone asked me, I said, I didn't know. It sounded crazy. I don't know. Maybe somebody, they might have asked Shechter, said, no, you don't need that. You don't have to be kosher for the Bishal Akum of yesterday. Okay. Whatever. So even if you held that Bishul Akum is Oser, nonetheless you would be allowed by Cheres, at least by Bishul Akum in the Rashba's Moda, you could do Hagala three times. You could do Hagala three times. Okay. Fine. So that's our assumption. We don't follow the Baal Eter Lagamri. It is sometimes uses its Sirif Lakula. Ramosha has a tshuva, I think, about porcelain dishwashers. So we might argue, right, so if you have to figure out whether the dishwasher was really trade, but it's possible it was. But Ramosha wanted to be put together a number of different things, which included a shita of, which is not obviously cited in here, of the Chacham Tzvi, I think, that Yishun Yud Beis Chodesh works, leaving it for 12 months, combined with the Baal Eter if you do Hagala three times. And so he wanted to be those were a couple that Stadim Lakula that Ramosha had. Okay. Anyway, so it's always good to keep this Baal Eter in your back pocket, but it can be used on very sparing occasions. All right, Avol Shari Sum Shadavim Echmir Ben Kishal Torah V'Roy Lacha Shol Hakel Bahem Ad Kan. That's what the Rashba says. Okay, so that's Hagala. And finally, Kelim Shemishtamshim Bahem Al Yedei Ha'or Kegon Shipudin V'Askelos Tzarech L'Labnon Hitev Ashiyuni Tzotzos Nitzin Heimenu until these sparks are flying. Here they quote the Avi Ezri, I think, is saying that it's sufficient, and the way to judge that is if you put a piece of paper on it and it goes. So that would be considered Nitzotzos Nitzin Himenu. And the Kasav Rashbash, Tzarech Leshuf Amtchila, you have to first scrape them down, you scour them. Venirish Ein Tzarech, unlike by Hagala, you don't need that, the Torah says, Ki Ha'ish Yaver HaKol. V'lodami La'Hagala Shetzarech Leshuf Amtchila, Shein Koch HaMayim Ki Koch Ha'ish. That is true. Okay. Fine. Higil klish et sarach libun. There are those who wanted to say. There are those who wanted to say that if you magil a kli, which requires libun, and you're only going to use the kli bechamin, not al ha'esh, that's okay. On the assumption is that whatever hagala gets out, it gets out the first time you do it, and therefore if you only use it in a hagala dika fashion, so then. Then it would be okay. And that is not the consensus opinion in Rishonim. The consensus opinion, as the Beis Yosef quotes in Oshei, is that Hagala on a Kli which needs Libon is like a Kli Cheres. I mean, a Kli Cheres, assumption is you can get stuff out of the Kli Cheres. The concern is you never get it all out. It comes out slowly, 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 slowly. So that's the concern. When you do Hagala on a Kli which requires Libon, it's not like a depth issue. Hagala only goes so deep and Libon goes deeper, and therefore if you cook Alamayim, you never get stuff out. No, it's just a question of it slowly draws the stuff out. Hagala can't do a sufficient job to get it all out, and then if you cook with that, there's still stuff in it. Yes.
Regarding the grills and the spits.
Yes.
If you have it, so you have your barbecue, and you're using your like, tongs on the barbecue, they should need.
The tongs should require libon, I think. Kasher the tongs. Right, that's like it's like a knife that's used when it's on directly on the fire. Yeah. Never thought about it. That is the case. The spatula that you use on the thing, if you want a kasher, you have to do libon on it. We never do libon. We don't kasher spatulas. And we do libon on the oven and self-cleaning, but that's the extent of it. So, but yeah, you have to do libon on this. Not, there aren't too many things that require libon, but it's your grill accessories that require libon. Yeah. David?
I always wondered this, what about the pot holders, like, you know, like the fabric things, like the mittens or whatever, like
Throw them in the laundry. Yes.
What about the silicone ones? It is the same thing as the silicone dishware.
Well, again, what is your chashash anyway? Why do you put food on the pot holders?
Food does fall onto it. I've had that happen. Food
okay. Do you cook l'chatchila? Do you l'chatchila put food on the pot holders?
L'chatchila? No. I mean, but it okay. ends up always...
Do you eat the stuff that ends up there, or do you throw it out?
I would rather eat it.
Thank you. So what are you asking
the
question?
No, but they would go layer back into the pot, let's say.
What's your concern? Meaning, that liquid spills off the pot, gets onto the pot holder in between, because the pot holder was bolea, and it was a ben yomo? Okay, you have a shayla. When that happens, you'll call me. Or you'll figure it out.
I have like a meat one and a dairy one, but then I just don't care at a certain point.
Well, you don't have to care unless it's a ben yomo. To even get off the ground, you have to worry. It has to be a ben yomo. Okay. What? I don't think so. I mean, unless you have Bennett. You have Bennett on it, so you need to remove it. Okay.
But it's burnt Bennett.
No. Is burnt Bennett edible? Would your dog eat it?
I don't have a dog.
If you had a dog, if you had a dog, that guy, would it eat it?
I don't know.
If you had a dog, would it be a very strange dog?
I had a cat once.
It's Comedy Central here. Okay. Anyway, so the tour says, Hego klisha tzarach liban also l'shtamish v'bacham and afil shalei de'aish kol shetashmin shalei de'aish eino pelet hakol alei de'hagala v'chazman shishtam shubo alei de'cham and polet ma'at ma'at v'yachal alabin chatzei akli v'achar kachatzei asheni. The Rush has an etzah about the knives where he says you mean magil just the tip, because the tip is probably the only part that the guy stuck directly on the fire and the rest of it you do hagala on. Okay, kosav arashpo kol kli macho shecham etzaso cham kula. A metal kli which is hot, part of it, the entire thing is hot. That is a general principle of physics. Okay, that is not disputable. Afikach, this is the disputable point. Afilu lo nishtamish bo iser elabim mitzaso, nesar kulo, v'dafka l'iser, aval inyan hachshero, lo ala hachshero achiyasher kulo, bein in hagala, bein in liban adkan. This is not fair. This violates one of our cardinal rules. This sounds like Rabbeinu Peretz. It almost sounds like he's misupak whether Rabbeinu Peretz is correct or not. Because if you hold Rabbeinu Peretz is correct, so then trafing a part of the kli trafes the whole kli up, and being machshir part of the kli is machshir the whole kli. If you don't look at Rabbeinu Peretz, then whatever part you trafed up, you have to be machshir, and nothing else is also. If you're misupak, so then you're giving me machmir hina vahina. That's what it sounds like the Rashba is doing, but the Torah says, v'nirli dafka kishin ishtamish b'chula avon yodea. That's the alternative possibility for the Rashba, is that we're afraid, not, it's not that really he holds that only the part that you need, that you use, that you need to use, that you need to be mashir, except for we're never really sure, and that's why we have to do the whole thing. But it doesn't sound like that from his statement. It sounds like, klima atcho shecham etzas ocham kulo, lafikach afilin lo nishtamish bo iser. It sounds like if you know that you only use this in part of it, elabim etzaso nesar kulo. So it really doesn't sound like that. It sounds like that you know that you only use part of the kli, and nonetheless, it may be midin vadai or shesafi shitas rabbeinu peretz, you have to be mashir the entire, you have to, it asers the entire kli. Okay, we don't pass them like Raminu parents. I assume we pass them like this tour. Okay, now, Machavas, Shemitagninbo, you have a frying pan. Kasav Avi Ezri, B'shem Aviv Rabbi Yoel. Who is the Avi Ezri?
In this case, it's the Rosh.
What?
I thought he was referring to his father. Just giving.
No.
Yeah.
Why would you say Avi Ezri is the Rosh?
It's a tour. No, the tour's father is.
Is the Rosh?
Yeah.
He doesn't refer to him as Avi
Ezri. Oh my God.
What?
It's not Avi Ezri, my father. The Avi Ezri. It's the Avi. The Avi Ezer. It's a person. B'shem Aviv Rabbeinu Yoel. Now, I thought, but I'm getting confused, that this is the Rabbiah. The Rabbiah is Rabbi Lezer ben Yoel HaLevi. No? Or is this a different? I thought this should be the Rabbiah.
Google?
You could go check it, sure. So I don't remember. But anyway, he's one of, this is one of, he's certainly one of the German pietists. It's one of Hasidei Ashkenaz. That I know. As is the Rabbiah, as is Rabbeinu Yoel, the Ravon. They're all Hasidei Ashkenaz. The most famous of Hasidei Ashkenaz is Yehuda Chassid, but Yehuda Chassid is the only one who's not fundamentally not a halachist. I mean, there's a lot of halacha in there, but it's like a minhagim type stuff. So, but the sort of the meat and potatoes, you go over how many times Yehuda Chassid quoted in Shulchan Aruch, and most of the time it's some type of, you know, odd kind of minhag. So, but the Raviyah and the Ravon, they are quoted much more extensively. So anyway, so he writes that. What?
Rabia.
It's Rabia. Okay, good.
He's quoting the Rabbeinu.
Okay, his father. There are a number of places, by the way, in the Simanim, here and in Moran Arachayim, in Tafanah, where you have the Avi Ezri quoting what he saw in his father's house. On the patch stuff, the Tlai, it doesn't say anything here, but in Arachayim it does. That was his, you know, that's who's quoting it. So, he paskins that a machavashem etagdem moshe tzricha libun. That's what his father used to do.
He didn't have a chance to argue this. Right, but who kasef
shadayu b'hagala, l'zehis kebetan rasal. Right? He never got this flesh, this issue out with his father before his father died, but he thought hagala is sufficient. What's the issue? The concern in the machamas is that the oil, if it dries up, you wind up burning stuff and you're actually cooking directly without a liquid medium. And the Rabbiah says, no, the mistama, even when the food is there, when the oil has dried up, there's still moisture in the food that's not enough to be considered... to be considered davar shevo ba'esh, and that's why he paskins that you require only hagala. The interesting thing is that the tour in Arachayim says we follow the Avi Ezri on this. You only have to do hagala on the frying pan, but the Beis Yosef says by a machava shel iser you should be machmir like his father, as the Rashba says in the Torah Sabayis, to require libun. Now what I find very interesting here is, on what basis did you distinguish between Pesach and Isser? Well, one would have said the reason that you should be makel by Pesach is because of Terebala. But the Shulchan Aruch ultimately rejects that position. Right? The fact that anything on Pesach, anything whatsoever, requires Libun tells you that Chametz Kodem HaPesach is Yisurabala. So by that token, if you're concerned that the Machavas is considered called Davar Hashem Ba'esh, then why does it make sense to be Mechalik between Pesach and Shaar Yisurim? If you held that Pesach Chametz was Yisur, is a Terebala, then I would understand. I don't know if it's kind of like a Sfek Sfeika, which is Sfek that Rabbi Yah is correct anyway. And even if Rabbi Yah is wrong, since the many Rishonim, the Rambam and the Ravid hold, and some of the Balatosa seem to hold that Chametz Kodem HaPesach is a Terebala, so I'll smach that, you wouldn't even require Libun ever, so of course the Machavas for Pesach doesn't require it. But B'chol Hashana, by Shaar Yisurim, so the only question is, do you hold like the Rav Yah, or do you hold like his father? So there you should be Machmir like his father.
What, an hour? An hour you said, an hour? What is
what is considered a frying pan? Anything you fry with oil, or
yeah,
like a deep fryer is called, or is that considered
a deep fryer? Normally have a lot of oil in there, right?
Right.
So there, you're never going to run out of oil, right?
And then,
so probably nobody would say there. And as you know, Bavadai, that it never, I don't think even Rabbi Yol would have said that.
So we're wearing like
a regular frying pan.
Or just even like a little bit of oil.
You need to have at least a little bit of oil there. If you don't, then I don't assume that they're talking about a deep frying. I assume they're talking about even less than that. But if it dried up at one point, then and there's really no oil left.
So I'm wondering if there's, because there's three ways of frying this. Deep frying, then there's shallow frying, which is like what you would like to do in the last time, and then there's
just coating the pan.
And like,
right, so coating the pan might already be considered, might be that. I'm not sure. That's a good question. Need to find that out.
Because it has an implication on how you say it to my face.
I know, I understand that. So Libi Omer, firstly, we'll have to look and see. You have to look what it says in Shulchan Aruch, but it may say in Aruch Chaim anyway that by all Machabas were Makel. So the question is why?
I only ask because Rabbi Marder. Wouldn't allow anyone to do their frying pans at all through
Haggadah. Right, trying to understand. So you have to look at what the maskan is in Aruch Chaim.
Because for the lots of newer fry pans that are like used even beyond just Teflon, that don't even require you to use oil, that they use whatever moisture is in the food to allow you to cook them.
Wow. So that I think is, that requires Libun.
And then you can't do Libun on the Teflon.
Yeah, and you can't. Oh no, you can put it in a.
No, you cannot do Liban on a Teflon pan. That's correct.
Teflon,
it may be bad enough. It may be bad enough using Teflon as it is, but on top of that, you put it, be able to destroy it with a blowtorch. Okay.
Wait,
yes.
What on a wok? I had like still like a film of like oil on my wok.
Well, that's a different problem.
Would that be Liban?
That's for care of the wok. That's not for cooking.
No, I'm thinking
would it require
Haggadah?
I'm asking.
Or Liban.
Right, when you normally, like, don't you leave vegetables typically in a wok?
In general.
And you have liquid in there. Okay, then sakin and knives. A nightmare is returning. A nightmare. Sakinim yishanim, hanikachim and hagayim, ben gedolim ben tanim, big or small, and balish damish b'hem b'tzonein, noatza eser pa'am b'karka kasha v'daya, o shafa b'mashchaz eshel napachim. So, you may remember that I mentioned in the three deos in the Ran, about what's the relationship, what's the takana of the Mishnah for, the tikkun of shafa v'hitahora versus noatza in the Gemara. So and the Gemara says lachtoch batzonein. So Rashi says you need to do both shafa and, which means either to sharpen it or to clean it, wipe it down really well, and the itza bakarka. Rashi says you need both, and that's only to do tzonein. To do ham, you have to do hagala or maybe libun. Rashi is hagala. And then those who say that no, you require either the Mishnah's tikkun of shafa or noatza bakarka in order to do again only tzonein. And then there's the Rambam who says hashchaz of the Mishnah is for chamin. So that sheet of the Torah doesn't even quote, I think. The Torah says sakini mishanim and nikachim and achim meing dolmeik tanim in balish tamish from mitzoni notes asaf from lekarka kasha v'dayu oh shafa b'mashkaz eshel napachim heitev al pnei kula upirish harama shebechol pam noetz b'karka kasha v'lo yinatzen v'makom shenatz b'hapar mishona. Each time you stick it into hard ground and each time you stick it into a new place, because v'lo yinatzen v'makom shenatz b'hapar mishona shetzach shi yakarka kasha b'chol neitzen itza. You are soft in the ground. It's obvious. The truth is, when you stick it in a second time, you're still probably likely to help in the cleaning process. But the more times you stick it in, the wider the hole gets. And at which point, you know, it stops accomplishing anything by sticking it in, except for maybe, you know, hand exercise. So obviously, a flower pot does not work. Rashi says you need both, but that does not. He does not think that is correct. Now, we already discussed, but it's worth reiterating, the question of knives in general. When do they require a Haggadah? When do they require Libun? So there was a stira, as we mentioned yesterday, there's a stira between the Gemara Pesachim, which says that Medina knives only require Hagalah on both on the handle and on the blade, versus the Tosefta, which is quoted by the Yushalmi, that a Sakinim require Libun. So the truth is, the Yushalmi, I think, already asks the question, and that Rabbeinu Tam cites it's Yushalmi, and he says that the Yushalmi distinguishes between Sakinim Gedolim and Sakinim Ketanim, big and small knives. So his argument is that big knives are used on the fire, small knives are not used on the fire. Therefore, big knives require Libun, small knives only require Hagalah. That was one approach. They point out that the Rishonim point out that the Rabbeinu Tam's Raya is not clear, because the Yerushalmi may be talking about something else, and may be talking about whether or not, in order to cut Sonein, what do you need to do? No, I'm sorry, the Mishnah had said Shafafi Torah, and the Yerushalmi says, but what about the Braisa that says you need Libun? So the Yerushalmi's distinction between Gedolah Ketana maybe relates to something totally different, namely, that when do Shifa and the Itza not help you? When you have gumos in the sakin. If there are little nicks in the sakin where the food can get stuck in there, sticking it into the ground where it's not going to pull that stuff off is no good. And that may be where you require Libun. So the Yushalmi says Gedolah versus Ketana, it may mean that a Gedolah is more likely to have gumos in it, and therefore it requires Libun, whereas the Ketana only requires Shifa and Ni'itza. And again, this could all be, again, whatever you hold, this could all be Litzarach Tzonin. So they said Rabbeinu Tam's Raya is not exactly a Raya. However, there obviously is another obvious teretz, which is the distinction between Libun that's required by the Tosefta and the Gemara Pesachim, which only requires Hagalah, is whether or not you deal with Chametz, called the Mapesach, which is Heter Rabbala, if you hold that way, in which case the Sakin never requires Libun, as opposed to the Tosefta, which is talking about Isurei Goyim, which does require Hagalah, which does require Libun, because it is Yisur HaBala. Alon?
The Gumar that it's talking about, this is like a serrated knife? Or this is even...
No, Dafka not a serrated knife. In other words, you get nicks and little gumas, like literally.
Is there anything that's pitted? Is it like a shechita knife that like you
want? Yeah. I mean, it'd have to be noticeable. I'm not sure it would be as machmen these gumas as we would be machmen on the blade for shechita.
But if you can see it...
See it, then it would be a concern, yeah.
If it's a serrated knife, that counts as...
I don't think we would call serrated knives. I don't think we would call those gumas. That would be no good for shechita.
I think that if it's serrated knife, you're not allowed, you don't need it.
What's that? Oh, again, it's a Metzias question.
When I was trying to be mashgiach, we were told not for serrated knives.
Because they wanted to argue that that's called gumas. I'm not convinced that that's a gumas, since you can clean a... The truth is, look, you know, you can clean a serrated knife really well, but you can't just do it. Probably Ni'itza won't do the trick. You probably need to soak it first, and then a good sponge, you can get it clean.
We're not maybe worried that when you stab in, that it doesn't go into where the serrated...
I hear. Look, it's a Metzias question, really. I don't think it's a matter of principle, but I think you have to... I don't think we would say that... I wouldn't say that you're required to do Libun on a serrated knife. Hagalah is sufficient, but you have to clean it very well. And the only way you're going to clean it first probably is by soaking it in water so that anything that's in, you know, won't get caught in the serrated, just, you know, use a sponge. When you're trying to get stuff out of a serrated knife when it's dry and you have a sponge, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to do. Nathan?
What about the knives with the dimples on the side of the blade?
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. We have a couple of knives like that. I don't know what the function of those things are.
It's just stuff that'll stick to the side.
What's that?
Onions and potatoes and things stick to the side of the knife.
It really helps?
Yeah.
Okay.
Depends on the... Some of the cheaper ones still have them, but it doesn't really help because they're not designed properly.
I got it. Okay. So we have a couple of those knives. So would you call those gumos for these purposes? Probably for Ni'itza Bekarka, yeah. But see, that's the difference between Shafa. The second, in other words, I would say Ni'itza Bekarka won't work on those things very well, because you have those gaps. I guess by serrating that, if it makes sense also. But a cloth wiping it down will work much better. Right, a sponge wiping down. But again, if you're going to do it, in order to get it to work well, you have to soak it first. And then, you know, at least to get it, you know, to soak it for a few minutes, just enough so that it's easy that stuff will all come off. But you have to get it off, and probably sticking to the ground is not going to work. And that does make sense, actually. Yeah.
So what about ceramic knives? They're knives actually made from ceramic. You're able to sharpen
the blade.
The entire blade is made of ceramic. So if you were to hit it on the table, it would shatter, but it's
otherwise
it's...
So for those things, I guess Fitzona, it's a question. Fitzona, and you might be able to clean it properly, but you couldn't do Hagala on it.
Right.
Because it's ceramic. Yeah. Okay.
Factories.
Well, what?
In factories, a lot of blades are ceramic.
It looks like
it's okay. So anyway, the Kosev HaRashba. Here's where we get the tzaras. The Kosev HaRashba. The afilu lachtoch badavar charech kemotz known sagi b'hachi. If you're cutting coal and you wipe it down with me'itza and mitzah or shifa, but let's say me'itza for the moment. So if you want to cut even a davar charech, it's mutter. The imbal nishtamish b'roteach, but if you want to use roteach, magila. Panenmer mamurim shu chalak she'im b'gumos. Amam yish b'gumos asa l'shtamish b'o b'im b'tzonein, b'im l'chamin ad she'elabno heitev. If it has gumos, you have to do liban on it. Do a good job of liban, because liban is so if everything wherever it is. And then v'yesh omrim shafilu ein bo gumos hu katan sarach liban shapamim mahapech bo akum basar etzel aisha masakim bo ner shachala bo otshu dole. It might be that he used it on a rare occasion ala aish, and therefore the knife is actually called davar sheyavo bo aish, either when he used it with food or he was fixing the ner shachalev. It was the bottom line is it was used as for fuel, but it's still edible. And if a little chaylev drips on the knife, so therefore you require libun. Even if all you did was be labbing the tip, that would be sufficient, and you do hagal on the rest. And other Rishonim would probably say that we don't care because we follow Rov Tashmisho. And if Rov Tashmisho is ayideh chamin, so then that's all one has to do. Now, what is bothering me so much that was making me crazy, and I still don't have an answer for? Did any of you read this tour up to here? Did you get this far?
Nope.
So what bothers you about reading this Rashba? What is the din if I take a knife that's perfectly clean? It's cold. It's balua from Isser, let's say, Eino Ben Yomo, and I chop onions with it, or I chop radishes with it.
It says if it's Ben Yomo.
Really? It's a machlokas harishonim. The Sefer HaTruma says, Ifilu Eina Ben Yomo. The Mechaber quotes that as one of his deos, and that's the assumption how we paskin, certainly the Ramah. So my question to you is, how come nobody says boo here? Nobody acknowledges that this isn't true. Firstly, they don't spell out explicitly, this din, Afilu Lachtob Dar Harf, is presumably even by a Ben Yomo in the Rashba. So the truth be told, and while I haven't had the chance to research it, this is the Gemara of Sakin Shechatach Bot Snon. So all that's known is Aser. So this is the identical case in that Gemara. The only way of explaining perhaps why it's not a problem is if you would adopt the first Lashon in Rashi. Rashi wanted to know, why don't we say by... the Gemara said Sakin Shechatach Bot Snon Aser Lameich LeBekutach. So one could say, like the first teretz in Rashi, that the concern is shamnunis. And in this case, because you did shifa or and ne'itza, there's no shamnunis anymore. So it's mutter to cut it stone. But that's only if you hold like the first Lashon Rashi. If you hold like the second Lashon Rashi, that we're dealing with a case where it's still, where the knife is totally clean. Nonetheless, because of a davar charif, absorbs more, and therefore it becomes bisari. And a kal v'chomer, it would become usr if it's a sakin shalissa. So if that's the case, why is the Rashba saying it's mutter lachtoch badavar charif? So if the Rashba happens to hold like the first sheet in Rashi, okay, so the Rashba it's not a problem for. It would have be a problem, but the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch, how does he paskin? He paskins for sure that even if the sakin is clean, if it's a ben yomo, then it makes the whole thing, it makes fleishik, at least kedei netila, or makes it aser. It's a shayla, he says, yeshomim, even if it's not a ben yomo. Here, how can the Mechaber paskin in Shulchan Aruch that it's mutter to be no eitz this and use it, but davar charif, and he doesn't distinguish ben yomo or eino ben yomo, if he paskin in Simen Tzadivav, that it's aser? Nobody on the side here says anything. In Shulchan Aruch, the Shach, when the Mechaber quotes this, then the Shach says it says this in the Rashba and in the Tur, and then he just says va'ayin la'el Simen Tzadivav. That's all the Shach says. Yeah, Ayin La'el, where it says exactly the opposite thing. And there's no prima gadam on this. I think the Prima Gadim ends after Kufyat Aleph, with Kufyat Aleph. So I have no idea what's going on. The Aruch HaShulchan, I looked, I didn't see anything in the Aruch HaShulchan. The Pischei Tshuva quotes somebody, a sefer that I have not been able to, I'm not sure we have, I'm not sure we have in the library. It's called Bechor Shor. It's obviously not the Baal HaTosfos Bechor Shor wrote the Pshat commentary. But it's a different sefer. We did find one thing in the card catalog called the Bechor Shor. I didn't go to the library, but it's not on Shulchan Aruch, so I don't know. It's something on the Gemara. I don't remember which Masechta. So I don't know if we can find this. Who thinks that the... what was the Rashba's Raya, by the way? I remember, what was the Rashba's Raya? The Raya was from the story that you'll never forget. You'll forget all of your day, but you'll probably never forget the last story in the Zohar, the last Gemara we read. Mm-hmm. About Mar Yehuda and Bati ben Tuvia or somebody like that. Who Shor Malka was giving esrog slices to, and you'll remember that story. So the question is, so the Rashba says, look at that story, what's the big deal? Why in other words, why not say that there's a chumra there? In other words, he cleans the knife totally for Mar Yehuda, but it's cutting a Dabar Harif, he's cutting an esrog. So how is it any good? So obviously you see that if you do Shifa or Ne'itza, you can cut even Dabar Harif. So I think it's already the one thing that the Pischei Tshuva quotes from this Bechor Shor. It sounds like the argument against the Rashba might be is that an esrog is not a davar charef. We scratched our head over the lemons thing being a davar charef. I don't know what a real esrog tastes like, whether it's more or less tart than a lemon.
Less,
that's
a lot of
Yeah. Even better. Okay. I don't know. All right. Are there any questions on the tour of Kuf Chaf Aleph? Have you ever had a real esrog, goes the kasha?
What's
the Yemenite esrog.
They don't have any fruit. What's the Yemenite
esrog? Do you use the Yemenite esrog?
It's expensive.
Wait, Megar, it's expensive. It costs $50 for the esrog from the guy in Brooklyn.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
I don't think I pay that much. I think about like 20.
You get a Yemenite esrog or a regular esrog?
Regular.
Thank you. I know. But you're Yemen. You claim to be Yemenite, so why don't you get Yemenite?
$50 for an esrog.
So you'd rather use?
Can't even hold it.
You'd rather use a mur? What are you talking about? You'd rather use a murkav?
Yeah. I can't hold a big thing.
I just go to the grocery store and buy a lemon.
Well said, Elon.
Those are apparently the real esrogs.
That's a whole debate.
They can't be kosher. They don't have any pulp. There's no fruit in them. There's nothing to eat. No, it's not.
I cut mine open a couple of years ago.
You used
a lot? A couple of years ago, I went out. It promises schlep. It's hard to get. I wanted to see what it was. So, I forget what the guy's name is. Gui or something like that? He's in
Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn.
He's having you probably pee or something like that.
Yeah, it was a schlep to get there. But once I went, went to get. He put out a whole country. I'm not convinced. It's a funny kuntres, like it keeps repeating itself over and over and over the same points. But he's just looking at the Siman of Chazal described for an esrog, and the argument is, it wouldn't surprise me if our esrog in fact are murkavim. But, you know, then again, some said who said that murkav is possible. So, famous Reb Chaim, how do you know Gemara says murkav is possible? It's a famous statement. Reb Chaim said, I know murkav is possible. It says because it's stated in the Torah, esrog, and murkav is not an esrog. But
you see pictures in the mosaics, what they were using with the esrog and they were using 2,000 years ago. They don't look like belt ones, the
garbled ones. Okay. Anyway, I don't know. I have not personally researched, and I don't tell people that they need to use a Teimani Esrog, but I figured that, you know, our resident Teimani at least use a Teimani Esrog. Okay. So if there are no further questions on that, we shall now move to Simon.
Can I ask about silicone?
Esrogim? No, they're no good.
Silicone baker. Is it considered stoneware? What is it considered?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Is it not? It's not glass.
It's not glass. It's actually
rubber.
It seems rubbery, but it's tough.
It's 500 degrees.
What?
500. What's that? 500 degrees.
It's great stuff.
I don't know. Maybe. My starting assumption is that, unless you know otherwise, it's you can do hagal on. You're asking whether it's cheres or not. I don't think we start with that assumption. But I don't know. I don't know much about it. You know, what is it, how is it made?
Can we find out how it's made?
We could try to figure out. I mean, it's
I
very...
Like
It's very hard to determine exactly, but okay. Moving on to the tour in Simon Kufchaf Beis. Even I have not finished yet, so we can only start. Kol nosein tal mefgam is mutar. Okay, the whole kedera shein of basyoma chashiva tal mefgam. Umiu chachamim asu levashu balachat chilek zeir atu basyoma. Bein chilek beinim haisa blua bein isu nevelu beinim haisa blua mechalav. Vol levashu balbasar. Either way, oiv chash hafafisha nitkima hakedera kodem shavadi de basar bachalav asu levashu balachat chilek. So it's not that the nosein tal mefgam is asur, it's that it's asur to cook food in that pot. Against the Rambam, following the sheet that many Rishonim would say that Be'en is not Nifka, only Balua is Nifka. Okay. So then the Torah quotes a very famous Kiddush of the Rashba, which we actually saw already. Kasav Rashba Isur Muat Shenivla. Shenivla bechli im darko shel osu kli shel alishdamish b'heter muat bechdi shiten zatam b'heter sheishdam shibol kamakedera gedola b'chavis gedola b'chayotze ben arizem muta lishdamish b'olach atchila afo pishu ben yoma l'fish iyef shelavo l'din nesinas tam. So this is what we call kli shel darko lishdamish b'shefa. We saw this then already where? I think in Simon Kuf Gimel. What's that? I don't understand. I don't understand because if you look in the Beis Yosef quotes in the Rashba, so he writes, he quotes the Rashba who says, I guess no, it does fit. He says, "Kvar be'yom l'malah she'im mivad l'nisul chatchila miu nivla iser mut tochli mut am darke sholse kli shdamish v'roshepa heter mut shdamish v'lochatchila kemin shisem mut." So I always thought, and this is true regardless of whether darke shdamish v'roshepa or not, that bitul iser chatchila is only when you want to be machshir the iser somehow by being mivatel. Here you have no interest in the iser. So it's not shy to talk about mevatlin isur lachatchila. The only shy is there a gzera that maybe you're going to come to cook when you don't have enough in the pot. That's what I would have thought. But he almost, the Rashba almost sets it up. He says, even though I'm mevatlin sachchila, but this is not a problem. Why not? Why, just because it's a small amount? By definition, whenever you're mevatlin sachchila, it means it's a small amount. That's what I assume. I don't know. Okay. So a lot of the achronim, so the Torah doesn't like this. He says, So the Beis Yosef says, I don't think that's an argument. The point is, you often do use a kli, which is ben yoma. And if we allow you to use it when it's in ben yoma, you're going to cross that line. Here you never use the kli that way, so what are you concerned about? The Achronim had big issues with this. There's a long taz, I think, here in the Shach, in whatever earlier siman it was in, I don't remember, I can't find it now. Oh, I know where it is. Is it Sadi Tess? By Emevat Lenisul HaChila? No. Anyone remember where this din was? No, well, he quoted this din once before.
What do you mean?
Where earlier did the Mechaber quote this din of the Rashba?
About like
Ikrumin Hator, Ikrumin. Klisha Daka Lishdamish
B'Shefa. End of Tzadi Tech.
What?
End of
It was in
the what? I can't find it. Did you see it there? I just looked. That's what my next guess.
It's the last.
Oh, it's not in the tour. That's why. It's just in the. Where in Sadi Tess? Oh, it's not in the Beis Yosef, though. Oh, it is at the end.
Yeah, that it's not like a certain stuff.
Oh, I see. He quotes a thing in the Shulchan Aruch. He quotes the din verbatim of the Rashba. Excuse me. Yeah, and then he quotes the same din both places in Shulchan Aruch, even though in Beis Yosef he only quotes the Tshuva D'Rashba. Excuse me. Okay, then the Torah quotes a very important din of which there's one dissenting opinion in the Rambam. But stam kleiakum he mecheskas ena bnei yoman ulefitachem aver neshtamish bo kodem hechsher hatav shel mutter vekasev rashbach al pikein aso lomal akum basha li rakos bikdei rasech vachem le yoman lo asili merkacha so pas shekala omer basha li harev ki lo bisho biyadav efshar shere dea palto rei dea rakachem mutter shekala mona miyachtim keinem nekiyen lachtim kidei shel yifkimu umanusan uval nefesh yachos shedvarm enum avim lidei tarav nekiyos ad kan. That's what the Rashba says, that you cannot ask the guy to do it because that might be mevatlis lechatchila, but it might be mutter anyway for a different reason, which is that the histam kalim of a guy are not being used. If he has a knife that he cuts fruit with, he doesn't cut shrimp with that as well. He doesn't want to he has a shrimp knife for the shrimp and he has a regular knife for this, something along those lines. Okay. Okay, we'll stop here. And what will happen on Monday, that belly, is on Monday we're going to finish Kuf Chaf Beis up. You should be learning Sunday. Please make no mistake about that. You should be preparing the tour and Beis Yosef on Kuf Chaf Beis, then go do the Shulchan Aruch on Kuf Chaf Aleph and Kuf Chaf Beis, and if you finish that, you can go to Tofton Aleph. I don't know that we're going to get there, but I want to at least get through Kuf Chaf Aleph and Kuf Chaf Beis.
He wants to do all Shulchan Aruch and Kuf Chaf
Yes.
Aleph, and then Kuf Chaf Beis.
Yes.